You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
On International Desk this week, we're going to Moscow. Protests in Moscow have been going on for 2 weeks in reaction to the disqualification of independent candidates in local elections. Justin talked to Dennis Levin, a student at the Moscow Higher School of Economics, who attended the protests, about the reason behind it and what happened.
Well, yes, the situation is that, I do believe that the real, arguments and the real reasons are very much deeper than just the elections, but the elections are just the simple trigger of the protest, you know.
Right.
As you might know, Russia is very similar to the United States according to the states. So we have different subjects of the federation, and every subject has their own parliament. Moscow as well. Moscow is one of the biggest according to the population subject of Russia.
Right.
And this summer, the elections are to be held, and there are 45 places in the city council, which is at the same time the city parliament is, so the parliament of the subject.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And as we know, according to Russian legislation, all the independent candidates, they have to collect a certain amount of signatures of their supporters in the districts they live or in the districts they run for a deputy. This amount is about 3% of the whole electorate of the district. It is very difficult because you have to go from apartment to apartment collecting the signatures in a very special form, collecting personal data, ID number, and so on. And of course, in Russia, many people do not want to give you any kind of ID.
Right.
Because of any kind of fraudsters and so on, it's just super super difficult. And this was the original idea of the state of the ruling party to make it super difficult for the independents to collect the signatures. But what happened is that the independent candidates and also the candidate I work for, they managed to collect this amount of signatures, and then. The state tried to do everything possible to make it more difficult for them to pass.
Right.
So they officially recognized the signatures or some signatures or 500 signatures, different amount of them for every candidate as counterfeit, fake, basically.
Right.
And this triggered the situation because many people who definitely know they did put their signature for a certain candidate, and now they find that the state announces that their signature is a fake. They cannot stand it, and that's what the official trigger. But actually, the protest is much more and includes much more topics than just the city.
Right. So when you say the local elections are about electing towards Moscow's parliament, how powerful is that? Is the parliament? What powers do they have? Do they? How many things do they decide?
Well, actually, it depends on the parliament itself. It depends on those persons, particular persons who hold the seats in the parliament. Because in Russia, the power of law and the rule of law is very weak comparing to the former British Empire countries, as New Zealand, for example, and it all depends on the personality. Yes, and of course, if we have 45 people, 45 loyal people to the government, right? They can decide barely nothing. But if we have at least half of them, or even 10 of them, from opposition, they can do a lot. Officially, they distribute the state, the city budget,
right.
Which is about to 2.7 trillion rubles. it's kind of difficult to transfer it to dollars right now for me, but you should understand that it's kind of a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
This is the biggest budget among the other subjects of the Russian Federation. Also, they are able to adopt some kind of legislation, the state legislation, which of course has to be has to go along with the constitution and the federal laws. But yes, they have some power to adopt some additional legislation. Yes, they do have it.
Right. And talking about the protests, what actually happened during those protests?
Everything started in the beginning of July, when the official commissions considering these the signatures started announcing the results. The results when they assumed that some of the signatures were fake, and for example, when they spent about 6 hours examining the signatures of the opposition candidate and spending only 1 hour examining the signatures of the loyal candidate, of the state party candidate. This all triggered the situation in the districts. So the protest was very much local in the small districts of Moscow, and I participated in one of those, in the very suburb of Moscow. Then the opposition candidates cooperated to organize the city protest, and this took took place on the let me think, on the 14th of July. The French National Day, I remember. And they organized it in the main street of Moscow, Tverskaya Street. And this is another tricky situation, because according to Russian legislation, if you want to hold a demonstration, you have to officially notify the authorities to hold it. And as the authorities understand it, they think that this means that we have to ask for permission. The opposition leaders think that they only have to notify, so let know that we're going to organize the demonstration. So the first demonstration was on the 14th, and this was not permitted by the government. And then there were some continuous strikes and demonstrations during the work days. Only one of those was permitted, and there participated about, I would say, 20,000 people.
Right.
That
a lot?
But then,
is 20,000 people a lot for Russian standards?
Well, again, the question is dubious, because those of the supporters of the power, the supporters of the state and the authorities, they say this is a very small amount of people. But what I think, and what other people from the opposition think, is that this is kind of a lot, because in the not permitted demonstration, also about 20,000 people participated. This is the biggest amount since the 1993, so since the very beginning of the Russian state, the modern Russia, right?
Yeah.
And which means a lot. And also we have to compare it not with the not with the population of Moscow, which is about 14 million, as you know, but with the amount of those who are politically aware and politically active in Russia. And this is about, I would say, 1 million in Moscow, or less.
Right.
Yes. And if we compare it with this amount, this is kind of a lot. I consider it a lot.
Okay. And also, we know hundreds of people have been arrested during these protests, including students and opposition politicians. Can you tell us a bit more about that? I believe you also know some of those arrested yourself.
Well, actually, I can name you a couple of people which I personally know. Well, firstly, candidate I worked for is actually... is now under arrest. He is sentenced to for a couple of months to be in prison, and officially he is sentenced for calling to protest, so the illegal action to foster and to boost the protest in Moscow. The guy is 32 years old, and his name is Konstantin Yankauskas. Now he's doing his 2 month sentence, I would say, in some of the Moscow jails. Another one is the student which I personally know. He used to be also a candidate, but he stopped his campaign in the very middle because he understood that he is not able to collect this this amount of signatures, as I told you.
Mm-hmm.
But he was one of the leaders of the student protest in the university where I studied, High School mm-hmm. of Economics.
Mm-hmm.
Yegor Zhukov. He is a libertarian, but well, I didn't share his political views. But what he did, he called other students to participate in the protest. To struggle and to fight with the authorities, and they filmed a video, which was shown when during the protest he kind of showed some signs for the other protesters where to go,
mm-hmm.
and they the authorities, they consider it as the organization of the illegal protest.
Right.
So they accused him of the organization of illegal protest and mm-hmm. sentenced him. It took place the day before yesterday. They sentenced him for again 2 months mm-hmm. in prison,
mm-hmm.
And this would actually really boosted the student community in Moscow.
Right.
Today at 12 o'clock, so in 2 hours,
mm-hmm.
The series of the single protests begin near the central police station in Moscow.
Mm-hmm.
So students are going to hold some banners mm-hmm. and to protest against this. Yes, and as you understand, many people are arrested illegally.
Mm-hmm.
So what Yegor, this guy, what he actually did on this video, he actually tried to tell people not to go further from the cars. So he tried to make the protest more organized, not disorganized. So
right.
what he did was actually good for people and for the city.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to avoid some kind of car accidents and so on. So he tried to move people away from the car lanes, but the officials accused him of organizing. So what is going on now is I would say this is the beginning of a bigger crisis, because as mm-hmm. you know, in summer many people are on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Many people are out of Moscow. So the students who come here from the different cities are out of Moscow as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we managed to collect 20,000 of people protesting. This is a lot. And mm-hmm. the elections will take place in on the 8th of September.
Right.
And that's when the largest protest will take place, I would think.
Right. So let me repeat that again. So there will be a student-led protests at Moscow time later on Monday. And apart from the student-led protests, are there going to be other protests in general to get those candidates to get to get them to stand in the local elections?
Well, I think so, but the situation here is that all of the protest leaders, so all these unregistered candidates, are now in prison. So there are very few people who can organize the protest and who can communicate with people and try to make them go out on the streets. Most of them will be free, so their sentence will end in about 1 or 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we shouldn't wait for some big protest before this time.
Right.
Also, there are some trials are also going on, because these candidates, they went to the court to consider their particular cases, right?
Right.
And I think that the potential decisions and the potential solutions of the courts will also be a potential trigger for another demonstration. But I would say that the bigger one will take place in September, when all of them will be already free, right? They will go out of jails, out of prisons, and the elections will take place.
Justin also discussed with Dr. Alexander Maxwell from Victoria University on how the protests could affect President Vladimir Putin's popularity.
The position of Putin seems unassailable at the moment, but Putin does not want to risk any sudden revolution. The anger of a populace governed by a corrupt government can erupt unexpectedly, and huge crowds can come out in an unexpected way. I think he's looking at the situation in Ukraine. You had a similar oligarch who'd run Ukraine as a sort of one-party state for a long time. And there was a stolen election in the classic post-Soviet fashion. And people in Ukraine had had enough. And so they went out onto the streets and protested, and there was a revolution. I think the prospect of a similar revolution in Russia haunts Vladimir Putin. So the minute there's any visible sense of opposition, the state moves in to suppress it, preempting any possible revolution. So that's my interpretation. It's not about the election per se, but it's about making it seem impossible for there to be an opposition politics. There's a bunch of academic work done on different types of election. You know, it's well known that there are elections in, you know, North Korea or Saddam Hussein's Iraq, where, hey, you know, it was obligatory that you had to come out and vote for the ruling party. And it's kind of an interesting ritual to come out and vote in a predetermined election. And the best way to look at it is it's, you know, it's a ritual of obedience. So if you look at Russian elections, it's not about choosing leaders. It's about maintaining the legitimacy of the state through a ritual, which is what Soviet elections were about. So there's continuity there.
Do you think the protest has shown that public opinion on Putin himself has changed?
It shows that there is an undercurrent of people who are unhappy with the current situation in Russia. And in the sort of information vacuum of Putin's Russia, opposition voices, you know, people with an opposition feeling must feel very lonely. So there's an importance in the recognition that there are others who feel as you do. The end of a regime like the Putin regime can come very suddenly. It's just it's difficult to judge how much popular discontent there is. It's difficult to judge how much of that discontent is blamed on Putin. There's a general sense in Russia that things are going badly, but to how much of that people attribute Putin or not is unclear. Putin does look a lot better than Yeltsin, his predecessor. So I think there is some genuine support for Putin, you know, because he looks so much better than his predecessor. But it's really hard to say how much popular opposition there might or might not be. But the way to look at this event, the way to follow the event is not, oh, will the opposition win any seats? Mm-hmm. But rather, will the opposition gather courage? Will it trigger a mass movement?
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.